Okay, welcome back. This is going to be a cutting-edge hour in terms of information, and we hope you're all tuned in with open ears. This has to do with the so-called Mexican swine flu, although it is an international swine flu now. Possibly an advanced biowarfare event. Did it get out intentionally from some laboratory? Was it released on purpose? We don't know. Here to talk about that with us, we're going to cover a lot of ground very quickly tonight, is Dr. William Deagle, MD. Dr. Bill, of course, has his own talk radio program. He is a brilliant authority in many areas of medicine and science. And joining us as well, Dr. A. True Ott, PhD and ND, who has a story up at rents.com right now in the top featured story, Something Wicked This Way Comes. So we urge you to read that as well. So let's first welcome back Dr. Ott. Are you there, True?
Yes, indeed, Jeff. Again, thank you for having me on the call tonight.
My pleasure. And Bill Deagle, are you there?
I am indeed. We've got the tag team here, and this is The Hammer Has Fallen.
Well, you called me earlier today, and you made that pronouncement. And when Bill Deagle says the hammer has fallen, Dr. Deagle, tell him what you think.
Well, what's been happening is we've been monitoring for years now the spread of H5N1 around the world, and we're getting reports of game wardens in Canada, down from Alaska, British Columbia, to Washington State and Oregon, across the United States, even in the interior, of selective areas where we know that there's birds dying. So there is already an avian pandemic among birds. The virus has spread, but this virus, which is H1N1, is totally new, and it's showing up in multiple spots. It showed up in the fall, H1N1, or a version of it, in Japan. Now we have this, all of a sudden, in the last few days, it's showing up in multiple places now, over quite a wide area of Mexico. I've actually looked at the specific Google map of the H1N1 swine flu, and you can see it's on the border, where it's in California,
right.
It's in Texas,
right.
It's in Mexicali, but it's way down in the bottom tip of Mexico, which is very strange indeed. So this, by the way, they had no contact, the seven cases that did recover in the United States, they had no contact with pigs. So with this, by the way, the genetics indicates that the virus is a combination of swine genes, avian genes, and genes that are Asian. This means they're from Asia. How could an Asian flu arrive here and show up in Mexico in disparate distances over 1,000 miles apart, and all of a sudden jump? And we are having a case fatality rate in Mexico City, from whatever strain that is, of somewhere around 1 in 12 to 1 in 10 that gets infected dies.
All right, 60 dead officially so far, 60 plus, over 1,000 ill. All schools in Mexico City, a city of 20 million people, closed, including universities, colleges, and so forth. They don't want this to spread any faster than it apparently is. Where is the DNA data coming from? You mentioned several different types. This so-called Mexican swine flu, although if there is no contact with pigs, I'm not sure how swinish it is. We've got avian influenza, human flu type A. There's some type B said to be in there. Asian swine flu, as you mentioned. European swine flu components are in it as well. This
right.
is a bizarre combination, Bill.
Yeah, and the fact that we have this bizarre combination tells me that it was from a resurrected virus that has genes indicating it's from different parts of the world. So this is a lab virus. Now, how it got there, whether it's an accident, because we have thousands of biosafety free labs in the United States, also in Canada and elsewhere, especially since the Operation BioShield and 9/11. And the remarkable thing about this that's particularly dangerous is this virus grows in humans, pigs, and animals, including birds, but it carries the ability to bind to human cells.
Right.
And because it can recombine now with the wild H5N1 that's all over the world,
right.
this is going to create new super recombinants. There are already people dying from this infection,
well,
but
super,
it's going to cause multiple waves that are going to come one
right.
after another.
It's going to extraordinarily increase the morbidity and mortality of this virus.
It'll probably go from a case fatality rate of, say, 5% up to 10%, 20%, 30%. And if it gets too lethal, it usually dies out. But what's going to likely happen is the virus is going to maximize its transport. And people carry and shed the virus for 8 to 10 days before they even get sick.
Correct.
So they're not doing anything to stop it. There's nothing to stop the borders and not tracking cases.
No.
And it's in H1N1, elsewhere is resistant to most of the, quote, drugs, and there's no vaccine from this virus.
Well, we got Tamiflu resistance now built up literally worldwide to H5N1.
By the way, vaccines don't work anyway, but
they're going to try
to tell you that they have a vaccine. So Mexico, they're vaccinating with an old swine flu vaccine, which I'm sure is going to do absolutely
nothing. It'll make money for somebody. That's what it's going to do. The 1918 influenza, by the way, had a mortality rate of between 2 and 3% approximately.
Right.
The H5N1 to date is running close to 70% mortality.
Yeah, that's an average between six different high pathogenic clades.
Right.
What unfortunately happens is that if it recombines and the case fatality rate drops from, say, an average of 70% to, say, 20 or 30%, the number dead goes up exponentially.
Right. Right. All right. True, what do you have to do, contribute so far to this new news? This thing really just burst on the scene yesterday in terms of news. It's been obviously lurking in Mexico for days before that. What do you know?
Well, yes, I'd just like to just review what we absolutely can say for certain without any speculation. I would refer the listeners to a wonderful PBS special called Killer Flu.
Mm-hmm.
It was part of the Secrets of the Dead series that PBS ran. In this presentation, by the way, you can order this DVD from Amazon.com called Killer Flu, and I recommend highly anybody that really wants to know about this to verify what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
What they did is they basically exposed the work of Dr. Jeffrey Taubenberger working for Friedrich Institute of Pathology and backed by certain interests, tied to Israel,
right.
We won't go into that here, but what the show clearly pointed out was the etymology of the 1918 killer flu, which was a mix, a potpourri of just exactly what you said. It's a blend of swine flu, bird flu, and human H3N2. So there you have the recombination that killed so many people in 1918. What's important for this discussion is the fact, and I repeat, fact. This is not speculation. Jeffrey Taubenberger's team from 1997 to the year 2003 successfully mapped the genome structure and were able to basically reconstruct and like Dr. Deagle said, resurrect this killer virus. Now, there's no, honestly, good reason to do so, logically. Let's look at this thing just with pure logic for a minute. The cover that they're using is they're saying, well, we need to develop a vaccine.
Sure.
But the thing has been dead like a velociraptor, extinct,
right,
since 1918, and it won't happen again because the 1918 virus was a creation of thanks to a typhus fever vaccine that started out as the human typhus fever transferred to a swine host and then transferred to chicken embryos for incubation and harvested. So there you have the three links.
Right.
Again, as I've said so many times before, the 1918 pandemic was absolutely linked to contaminated vaccines given to the expeditionary force heading overseas to Europe. At that time, I give the benefit of the doubt. I think it was an absolute a mistake.
Well, there's another Gulf War syndrome, but going back, almost 70 years, I guess.
But it's totally unconscionable, Jeff,
right,
for them in any way, shape, and form to resurrect this and weaponize it.
What they did is they actually took fragments of the virus from deceased miners in Alaska, funded by the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, the World Health Organization, and the CDC, and they actually built it using a bioengine and a supercomputer to resurrect the gene sequences.
Mm-hmm.
And then de novo created that DNA sequence and actually recreated the virus.
And what's really interesting, as I told Dr. Bill just this evening, the Chinese news agency reporting on this went even so far as to explain that their factory lab in Canada is the laboratory that is dissecting these the influenza virus samples from Mexico City.
The Chinese?
The Chinese labs in Canada involved in this?
Yeah, the Italian was the lab in Winnipeg, which is a major reference lab, and the Canadians were caught shipping H1N1, which is a pandemic flu, incorrectly and without proper precautions around the world, as well as many other BSL 3 and 4 labs that Canadians forgot to.
Now, all right, hold on. Let's take a break. Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, and Dr. A. True Ott, PhD, with us tonight as we take a look at the very fast-breaking story of the swine flu out of Mexico. By the way, the 1918 Spanish influenza pandemic killed, nobody really knows for sure. They're guessing around 50 million people worldwide, and it had only a 2 or 3% mortality rate, which made it even more lethal because it went into so many more hosts. It had legs, so to speak. All right, we'll be right back as we track the swine flu in Mexico and the U.S. so far. Okay, let's get right back to our guest on the very important topic. Is this the beginning of a major worldwide, or certainly North American, Central American pandemic? Good luck to the world trying to stop it if it really is a pandemic, and it appears to be dressed up in just that suit of clothes. Just got an email from Dr. Patricia Doyle, PhD. She said, "Hello, Jeff, your guest, Dr. William Deagle, is 100% correct, and I have stated that many times that a pandemic would probably be a mix of the Spanish flu, H1N1, and H5N1. We've talked about that many times on your program. As I said, this influenza outbreak stinks. There have been Eurasian swine strains in the mix, yet the virus supposedly began in Mexico and the U.S. This is the resurrected Spanish flu, no question."
Yeah,
Patricia Doyle.
Absolutely right on the money.
Well, we just need to again point out that these recombinant situations just do not happen by natural selection. They can't.
No,
I think they're getting frustrated with the fact that
The
virus was not recombining in the wild, because birds or animals have to be infected with a human virus and have the receptor binding domain.
Right.
They're short a couple of amino acids. Now this, which is H1N1, has the receptor binding domain, can co-infect animals like birds and pigs and wild foxes and even cattle and sheep.
Any mammals.
Right. So what will happen is this guarantees, this is a warning shot, and I don't know if it will turn into a pandemic now. My guess is what's going to happen is we're going to have a scare. We may even have some government actions, like we have here reports that they've activated the pandemic centers. But even if we have, quote, a first wave that's relatively mild, let's say cases have a rate of 5%.
Right.
What this really is doing is it's putting the shells in the chamber, as Patricia Doyle says, and what it's doing is it's guaranteeing that this is going to recombine all over Mexico, the United States, and probably other countries.
Sure it is.
And it's going to form super strains, not just one, but possibly dozens of different recombinant clades that'll be H5N1, H1N1, because they're so close genetically, they're going to recombine very efficiently, and they're going to be able to attach to humans and spread, and then we're going to have multiple waves. So this is now the warning shot. It tells us whatever's going on, whether it's this kind of passes in a month or two, it guarantees we're going to be facing pandemic flu probably now almost certainly within 90 days.
Right.
A new super strain that won't be just 5 or 10% death rate, but maybe 30%.
Well, 5 or 10, 5 is twice the mortality rate of the Spanish flu, and 10% would be double that again. So, and it reminds me of what Dr. Robert Strecker said many years ago to me on this program, in fact. He said, the AIDS virus, he kind of laughed when people said it arose spontaneously in nature. He said, look, this is like someone who has been tragically injured and they're a paraplegic in a wheelchair. And all of a sudden you come over and you find them all dressed up in a tuxedo, slicked back and ready to go out in the wheelchair. He said, that person didn't dress himself. So it's the same thing with this virus. It just didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it couldn't have. All of the genetics are like the genetic fingerprints of where the virus has been. It's like an old steamer trunk with all the tags on it.
Exactly. Well, that's a perfect analogy. Exactly. Exactly right. When they dug this thing up, Patty Doyle and I, and I'm sure you and many other people, probably a lot of you listening out there, said, you know, what is this? Is this a joke? They're trying to pass it off as some kind of a defensive measure they're doing for our welfare to make a virus vaccine? Forget it. This never was intended. Not a chance. This is, you're exactly right. That's a wonderful way to look at it. It's got all the tags on the steamer trunk.
Yeah, this is very serious. People better get ready with their personal defense. It's all happening in perfect timing, too, for the announcement after the G20 for
new
world currency. It's a time when they've made literally economic changes, which, in the words of economic experts, can only support 5 billion of the 6.5 billion people on the planet, which means they're starting a program of worldwide population reduction. This is part of their policy, and the documents I got from Human Life International in March of 1997 is that they were going to resurrect using the genetics of the H1N1 and transferring it to H5N1, a new supervirus that would kill several billion
Earth. Easiest way to do it, save the real estate, get rid of the people. This this issue of H5N1, so far to date, has infected officially, although we suspect a much higher figure, 421 people in 15 countries and killed 257. Now, as Bill and True and many of you listening remember, and certainly Patty, you too, this virus, H5N1, could only survive at avian body temperatures, right, close to 106 degrees, until about a year and a half ago, Bill? I don't remember when it...
Last year. We don't know the exact date, but we know it's part of the genetics.
All of a sudden, it could do real well at what temperature, ladies and gentlemen?
98.6.
Yep. True, go ahead.
Well, yeah, so, you know, everything I'm hearing is exactly right on track, right on point. It's happened. The genie's out of the bottle. And like I've said for over a year and a half, it's the perfect smokescreen for the lockdown and the martial law to take effect. Because, you know, now the World Health Organization and USA Today and other, the BBC for one and other international outlets have declared the World Health Organization's pilot center, their nerve center for pandemic flu worldwide is now activated 24/7. And what that means and what that tells me is it's operation go.
Well, what happens, Bill, in a true pandemic with a mortality rate way above the 2 or 3% of the Spanish flu? Who goes down first?
First people to go down is it will take only, we calculated this from our simulations, it'll only take 4 days to fill off all the respiratory units in the country.
Well,
we start seeing the death of healthcare workers.
That's right. First responders, as we've talked about. Hold
first
on.
First responders and police.
All right, we'll be right back in just a few minutes. This is reality, folks, and as Dr. Bill says, this may not be the official start of the big-time pandemic, but if this is what we think it is...
This is a shot heard around the world.
It is. Be right back. Back with Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, and Dr. True Ott, PhD, ND. All right, we're talking about the Spanish flu, the Mexican Spanish flu, but let's just drop Mexican, folks. This is, boy, I just really love the analogy you put out there, the steamer trunk with all the tags of its former destinations. This is 1918 influenza, with a new suit of clothes, perhaps some eyewash, and a little bit of a paint job on it. And let's watch it run. Let's watch where it goes. All right, let's revisit that question, Bill, and have both of you respond to this. And I must say that Dr. Doyle has been on this for years, warning what would happen in a pandemic.
Yeah.
And the answer is the first and most important cog in the defense against the pandemic would be wiped out or virtually made inoperable in short order. Bill, tell us a little bit more.
What will happen, and people need to know this, we've done war games on this, the government's fully aware. In fact, I'm going to just give a statement here by the Canadian Ottawa Citizen that was published actually just later this afternoon. And it says, based on the law of averages and science, the virology experts agree another influenza pandemic is inevitable. Of course, it's because they're going to create it. The fact is that they say now that it's, quote, started for possibly in Mexico, there's no, quote, head start to have 3 months to make vaccine, et cetera, which, of course, we know vaccines have to be genetically accurate.
Yep.
If they were going to work at all, and we know they don't work. And the fact is, when you're vaccinating, and I just got a report here from Alexander S. Jones, one of our NIH whistleblowers, and he's quite correct in his email, that, in fact, when you give vaccines like the swine flu vaccine, you give the virus new genetic information and new spare parts, so you create new recombinants immediately. So this is going to possibly brew by giving more vaccine in the midst of an epidemic, which wouldn't work, even if the vaccine could work, for a
this
couple of
makes
weeks.
The virus smarter and more adaptable.
More genetic possibility to even create new substrains.
Sure. Yep, yep. All right, we're going to lose our healthcare workers, our first responders. Bill mentioned the police, absolutely.
Right.
The fear that this country is so primed for a fear epidemic now. Talk about pandemic. Let's talk about an epidemic of fear. People are going to flip out.
Well, they don't do anything, and the fact is that we did a simulation at the Federal Center group of special forces that worked with Operation Pop Off in Dark Winter in the late 90s with Reserve Admiral Hughes. The hazmat teams in Colorado, and what we discovered, and this is very shocking, is that, number one, we could never activate the EMS system quickly enough to prevent it from spreading.
Yeah.
And number two, once the virus actually caused the panic, more people died of violence and starvation than they died of the flu.
I said they're going to flip out. There's no question about it. So you're not going to be able to go to the ER, folks. You're not even going to be able to get to your doctor. Forget that. Don't call an ambulance. None will be coming in the event of a massive pandemic. And forget about dialing 911. First of all, cops are not responsible by law to answer any 911 calls. They do it voluntarily to the best of their ability. That's the law and that's the rule. All right, here's something else for both of you gentlemen. Got this from Dr. Doyle earlier today. She says, "Hello, Jeff. I wonder what the heck the following means. Was the Navy doing some sort of testing on the Mexican border? The swine flu outbreak stinks." She repeated herself there. She says, "Something is very wrong." Here's the quote. I'm going to quote this now. "The unusual strain this year was noticed," said Dr. Ann Schuchat, Director of Respiratory Diseases for the CDC, "only because the agency was trying out a new diagnostic test at a Navy laboratory and doing more testing than usual through a new border infectious disease surveillance project along the Mexican border." So what's the Navy doing here, and what are they doing on the border?
Well, the Navy has a facility in Cairo, and a week and a half ago, one of the parliamentarians in Cairo accused the U.S. Naval facility in Cairo of causing a number of young people to be infected with H1N1. H5N1. H5N1 in Egypt. So we're having all these strange circumstances, like the Baxter lab here just a short time ago.
Well, the Navy has a lab in Indonesia too, folks. It's a bioweapons lab. Nobody knows much about that. The Indonesians are unhappy about it, but they do. They've got them all over the place.
Right. So what we do know is that, this is my guess, is this is going to put a real scare. And here's what this Canadian report shows. I tell people they really should take this seriously. What they are now talking about is, and this is after Hillary Clinton went to China, and this is a speech that Dr. Truax sent to me some time ago. It's a speech from August 8, 2005 by Mr. Chai Haoxian, Minister of Defense. And Dr. Ott, you can perhaps tell us about this, because now that they're literally doing a controlled demolition of the economy, they're getting ready to start sweeping away some of the population. It's not surprising that they're totally surprised at a potential pandemic. I'm not saying it is yet, but a potential pandemic that's now showing up in a New York prep school as well today, started in Mexico, the trash heap city of 20 million, and that this speech, tell us about that, Dr. Ross.
Well, yes, indeed. I verified that to be absolutely accurate by a number of my sources. I came out with that back in July of 2008. I published that along with some writings and my my PowerPoint presentation on the Chinese connection to this proposed pandemic, okay? Now, Xi Haoshan basically outlines to his, to the whole PLA brass, the assembled generals, the long-term plan for China's survival. Again, earlier on Jeff's show, we established the fact that from Peter Navarro's book and others, and others' research showing that the Chinese economy, the Chinese environment is not sustainable with the contamination and pollution. And the fact of the matter is they maybe have 3 or 4 years left before they go into a crash cycle. They must expand. Mm-hmm. And they've absolutely identified North America as their point of expansion. That means Mexico, America, and Canada. And in his speech, Xi Haoshan explained that it's unfortunate, he said, that we must clean up America, quote, all of a sudden, and we now have the means through a biological weapon to do just that. And he estimated 150 to 200 million Americans must die. But then he explained it's a tragedy, yes, but if 150 million Americans do not die, then 300 or 400 million Chinese must die because of the collapse of their their agrarian economy
All right, we've got about 75 students at a New York City prep school who are suffering strange and mysterious influenza. And if that flu is typed to be the same that we're seeing in Texas and California and Mexico, then, Bill, we know this is being helped.
Yeah, they're not publishing the information from the Baxter Lab or from Biotest.
Nothing.
Alexander S. Jones has been checking to see if their phone is even off the hook in the Czech Republic.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they're not answering any calls. There's a total blackout of the news of Baxter.
All right, well, that was the Baxter story we covered here about 3-4 weeks ago, I guess, now, something like that.
Right, so they're working hard to start a pandemic, as Henry Kissinger said. America will be disarmed by September. They want to have a pandemic now.
Well, that's one way to take the guns away from people and kill them.
Absolutely. Bullets for bread.
Yeah.
And we'll save you from the evil pandemic if you'll just go to our civil attention here.
What it is. Be right back with Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, and Dr. A. True Ott, PhD. Okay, we're back, and let's get the latest on the New York prep school. It's a private Catholic school. Here's a little excerpt from a television news story there. I think your ears will pick up several things that are of particular interest, so here we go.
Later.
Now the school's all closed up.
Yeah.
If it's the flu, the question is what kind of flu, and could it be the unique strain suspected in 20 recent deaths? Tests are underway.
It could be a strain we haven't seen before. It could be the regular flu. It could be flu B, which is what happens late in the year. It could be any of those, so we can't really speculate at this point. That's why we were very anxious to get samples to our lab and get them tested, find out what we're dealing with.
Well, I think the most important thing there is, will the NIH or CDC be forthcoming, Bill Deagle, as they often are not?
I think, firstly, the report we have, which is very, very telling, is that they've already reported the strains in Texas, California, and Mexico, distributed over thousands of square miles, hundreds of thousands,
are
the same.
Yeah. Yep.
So we now have this weird virus that has genes from Asia, as I said, with a steamer trunk, that's showing up all of a sudden. There's three major phases to the pandemic. The first phase is you have to have the insertion. We already have the gun loaded with the H5N1 now spread all over the continent, which contains the really lethal genes, like the NS1 gene, PB2 deletion, and all the other changes that make it up. Six lethal substrains or clades now are that pathogenic, that they're 30 times more lethal than the 1918. But now this second virus, this is called the insertion phase, where it has the capacity to attach to human cells. It carries drug resistance to most of the drugs. And what will happen now is this insertion phase may not be the full pandemic, but it means it's going to now embed itself and become endemic to recombine in wild animals, in human beings, and pigs. In fact, the report is that 20% of veterinarians that handle pigs have the swine flu antibodies in them from being infected by low pathogenic strains, and 5% of pig farmers that work with these.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, that report's from Ohio. So
wow.
Here's what we have now, is this thing showing up in New York and these multiple places is a very bad thing.
Yeah.
It means now it's going to embed in the population, and now we're not just going to have dead birds. We may have dead cats and dogs. Maybe you'll get into cattle and start knocking out herds. And it's going to start changing interstate commerce, and we're going to start seeing the military show up.
Well, we may see them sooner rather than later.
Exactly.
By the way, this
so
is...
We don't know, but I can tell you this insertion phase is number one. The second phase is what they call the recombinant phase, and that'll come in waves. The first wave, which may be not just this current flu, but a second wave may be in 6 weeks or 3 months or six
Correct.
Months, will be a much more lethal strain. And then we'll see repeated waves coming after that, and these literally could come for years. This is not just a one-time deal and you're done.
Well, it's just like West Nile virus is now endemic structural to the entire world ecosystem. It's there.
Yeah, and that's what we have now. We have H5N1 endemic to all continents, but this new H1N1 allows it to recombine with what's called synapses to switch and swap genes. So it has 6 polybasic amino acids, which would never occur, by the way, evolutionarily. This allows it to grow in any tissue, including in the brain. You can actually grow it, spread virus for 8 days, strike a fever in 45 minutes, and fall over, drop dead from a seizure without even coughing once.
Wow.
That's what this is. This is the virus from hell.
What is it about pigs that makes them such perfect petri dishes for growing and recombining?
They're very close to human being structure. That's
right. Structurally, the glycoproteins in their cells are very, very close to humans.
Well, it's a tissue match, too. I mean, they put pig valves in people and have for a long time.
That's another interesting story we can talk about sometime. It goes back to Atlantis.
Wow. Well, Atlantis, VA as it may, is not on the table tonight. What we have
is
Atlantis.
No, but the thing is, what we're dealing with tonight is that this is the hammer's drop. Now, the problem people don't understand is that they're going to tell us they're going to have a drug or a vaccine, which means they're going to start...
They're going to panic the population or force them to take it.
Right. And, in fact, what they're talking about now in this report from Canada is they want to start vaccinating the health professionals, military personnel, and the police.
Another great way to knock them out.
Right. And the Sanofi vaccine comes from China again.
Mm-hmm.
382 million doses shipped all over the country to military bases.
Uh-huh.
And this is an RNA vaccine.
It
means it primes your cells. And then they give a, quote, antigenically accurate capsid, accurate vaccine later, and they supposedly, quote, are going to get protection within a week rather than 2 to 6 weeks. This is a lie, and what we'll do is we'll actually insert genes, because it's a attenuated virus, that will cause further emergent strains or substrains. We may not just have one virus here. We could have multiple substrains, all genetically distinct, at the same time running everywhere.
This will tumble out like almost like out of a pinwheel. It'll just spin.
In fact, their attempt to vaccinate even in China, their birds in China actually created new substrains when they did that, and they found the same thing when they tried the new drugs.
We covered that. I remember.
Yeah.
Okay, we just have about 5 minutes left, True. I think we've really done a great job in an hour to bring this up to speed to help people understand the potentials here. We're not saying this is going to kill a million people in the next week or two, but what we're saying here is that now all the ingredients are clearly out in the environment, in the animal world, and they can begin to do their recombination. And in fact, they're probably doing it as we speak. We also have the interesting thing of this very unique, very weird virus, obviously the Spanish flu, popping up. What's the distance between southern Mexico and New York City, Bill?
Well, what is it, about 4,000 miles?
Something like that.
Yeah, so this is not something, this is, again, as Barack Obama said, I'm not going to refer to him as a president, I call him the usurper-in-chief, he stated at the G20 meeting that the avian flu is going to arrive in the West, in America, on a silver jet arriving from Eastern Europe. Well, the fact is, they would have liked that to come out of the lab, but it's even a better scenario because it means that they can then, even if it doesn't have a pandemic, they're going to institute some very noxious population control measures or plan forced vaccination
right.
very, very quickly. And they've already done simulations 2 years ago. They did the take a shot or get shot in Philadelphia, June 25th, 2007.
Yeah.
But it had 50,000 homes visited by a Homeland Security officer carrying, quote, medicines and or vaccines. A police officer was armed and a U.S. Postal Service worker, which is a violation to make you force you to take a package. And that's all it was, the PSYOP, to see if you would take the package, so therefore they would see how compliant you'd be to inject you with a deadly and experimental vaccine.
Right.
Or take dangerous medications.
Yeah, Patty sent another email of Dr. Patricia Doyle. She says, to infect the U.S., just infect Mexicans. The porous borders will do the rest.
Yeah.
And she said also, if the New York cases turn out to be swine flu, other cities with large illegal populations will also have the cases.
Yeah. I would just like to also mention, again, this is very, very much an elitist eugenics program. It always has been. I refer, like in the paper I just sent to you and you posted, the quote by Prince Philip. It's very clear. I mean, his goal, he says, if I were to come back and be reincarnated, I would come back as what? A killer virus.
And wipe out human.
Yeah, wipe out excess humanity. I mean, this is their wet dream.
Right.
Yeah, and by the way, the reason why this is a ceremony, we talked about this earlier today on my show with Freeman, is because of the ancient ceremony of the phoenix. They are the authors of the chaos, therefore they want to destroy the current bird and resurrect a new phoenix. So this is a ceremonial. That's why you want to use avian flu, and that's why the Rothschilds funded the World Health Organization, the National Institute for Allergy, the CDC, to resurrect the 1918 flu, transfer these lethal genes, and add new gene deletions in very specific DNA positions, like the 4 amino acid deletion on the PB2 gene, the polybasic amino acid on the H gene. All of these are not open for dispute. They're just the way it is. And this is totally done in the laboratory. Now we have this H1N1, so now all of the ingredients are in the cake to make a pandemic now.
I have another email from someone I will not identify, but I know this person said, I met with a PhD pharmacologist. The job was trying to find a way to stop a Spanish flu variant that had IL-6 spliced into it to suppress the response of the human autoimmune and immune system. As a standalone, it could not be stopped. And that
That's
was
right.
Done,
and they have
that
actually a deletion on the PB2 gene that bypasses interleukin 4 completely, not partially, like the 1918.
Mm-hmm.
It means your immune system shows no alarm when the virus is replicating in your body.
It's asleep.
Until it's supposed to be overwhelmed and you have the most violent cytokine storm you can imagine.
It's blinded. It's blinded.
Totally blinded your immune system.
Yeah. This was, apparently this work, that I just mentioned was done in Texas as well. So.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is. It's fascinating how the elite, killers, the evil ones on the planet, the satanic, mass murderers, do stand on ceremony and do play numbers games. They're very much in thrall with themselves and that they're able to do this, but they always have.
Yeah, they're also crazy because this virus is going to recombine and create strains that they cannot protect themselves from.
One would think.
Yeah, and here, if they're listening, and they should listen up, this virus can also swap its genes with other viruses, including Crimean fever, Ebola, and other viruses.
Mm-hmm.
And the lethal genetics in these virus strains, H5N1, this new recombinant, can become embedded in society, killing birds, animals, cattle, sheep, just like the Mayan prophecy.
Sure, it could cleanse the planet.
There would be a death of a lot of the food animals around the world.
It can even kill polo horses.
Exactly. And in fact, this is what predict next. Just like it got into civet cats, wild foxes, donkeys, et cetera, in China around Xinjiang and Qinghai 3 years ago. I predict the next thing is you're going to start seeing dying off of large herds of cattle and other, meat animals. And this is going to really start affecting wild populations.
All right, we'll see what happens. Dr. Ott, thanks for being here.
My pleasure, Jeff.
And
thank you, Jeff. I hope people take measures. Visit my website, ZutraMedical.com. Listen to the program. We're going to be doing literally daily updates on this because I believe that the hammer has fallen. And whether this is the first major wave, it's set in motion. The cake is in the oven now.
It is indeed.
The cake
Thank
is
you.
In the oven.
Thanks, Bill. Okay, and thanks to all of you for being here. Lots to think about. We'll keep right on top of it at rents.com as well. Have a good weekend.